Picture, if you will, a shop where there are analog receivers, amplifiers, dual cassette decks, turntables, Victrolas, and even 8-track tape players. You stumbled into the Radio Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick.
Super positive. Beina deina bangi beina demona orai.
From the impossibly scarce Dewdrops record label that was active back in California back in the 1990s, a tribute to the Cocteau Twins' Half Gifts, we started off with Numeralia and Ooming Mac, and then Sugar Hiccup with Sugar Hiccup, and finally Subdue with the Great Spangled Fritillary. And where else are you going to hear this stuff? Oh, yeah, nowhere. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop, where it's never the same program twice or even once. In just a moment, we have one half an hour of test card music from the BBC. But before that, we're going to listen to a few messages here on the Thrift Shop.
For thousands of years, the first day of spring has marked the start of Nowruz, the Persian New Year.
I'm Jim Metzner, and this is the Pulse of the Planet.
Nowruz is a festival of rebirth and growth, a celebration of living things, a starting of life.
Manaz Afkami is the director of the Foundation for Iranian Studies.
The way it is celebrated in Iran is that at the moment when the sun is passing the equator and the moment that spring comes in, the family gathers together around the table, and on this table are placed seven items, each of which names start with the letter S in Persian, and they each symbolize an aspect of the celebration. For instance, there is an apple, which in Persian is Sib, and it symbolizes health and robustness. There is garlic, which is Sir in Persian, and that celebrates health and the warding off of evil and illness. And one of the most important things is sprouts of wheat, which we grow and display on the table, and that of course is symbolic of good crops, of growth, and of plenty. And of course, since this is a cross-cultural, cross-religious, cross-ethnic celebration, people have on the table their particular holy book. So this is how the day begins. And of course, during the following days, people visit relatives, and the celebrations and the visits go on for 13 days.
To hear about our new CD, please visit pulseplanet.com. Pulse of the Planet is made possible by the National Science Foundation. I'm Jim Metzner.
This is DJ Frederick. Welcome to the freeform blend of tunes from the past century of recorded sound. It's the Radio Thrift Shop.
Hi, I'm Jack R. Johnson, and this is Hidden Histories. Call someone a Luddite today, and you'll likely receive a sour look. The term has evolved into meaning someone who is against modern ways or modern technology. But the original Luddites were far more calculating in their rejection of the industrialization that was destroying their way of life. They emerged in Nottingham, England, curiously the same district famous for another champion of the poor, Robin Hood. The Luddite movement was a reaction by mill workers of the Manchester-Leeds industrial region of England to the coming of steam-powered machinery. That machinery replaced their skilled labor and left them jobless and hungry. According to legend, the mythical figure of Ned Ludd was a simple-minded boy who accidentally broke a frame or one of the looms that they wove with. Others who broke frames deliberately might cover it up by claiming that they were as clumsy as a Ludd. But Ned Ludd was also said to be a general on whose orders workers would demand that factory owners shut down steam-powered machinery or the frames would be broken. The Luddite movement was adamantly non-violent, although they did destroy property. It reached its height in the spring of 1812. By February 27, 1812, Lord Byron himself spoke to the House of Lords on the Luddite riots, and he called for a peaceful resolution to the Luddites' complaints, but it was not to be. In June of 1812, some 38 weavers were charged with administering oaths to weavers and pledging them to destroy steam looms, and they were accused of attending a seditious meeting. At their subsequent trial, all 38 were actually acquitted, but later that summer, 8 men in Lancashire were sentenced to death. 15 more were executed at York. While there were occasional outbreaks of violence afterwards, by 1817, the Luddite movement had been thoroughly crushed and had ceased all activity in Great Britain. This is Jack R. Johnson for Hidden Histories.
Thank you.
Well, for that half hour, we turned into the video thrift shop with music from Test Card E from the BBC. Now, Test Card E was broadcast during, for a very short time, from probably a couple of days to a couple of weeks back in 1964. And it was used on the day that BBC Two started in the London area, which was the 20th of April back in 1964. Some very scarce music that was barely ever heard, only between programs when BBC Two debuted in April of 1964 in the London viewing area. All right, and there will be more Test Card music in future editions of the Radio Thrift Shop, so please stay tuned for that. I hope you're enjoying this bizarre variety of cool stuff. And I'd like to remind you that if you do enjoy the free-form journeys that we go on here, in addition to listening on WSCS, all of my programs are archived at radioforall.net. You can hear Night Train to Mundo Fine, which is a folk music program. And you can also hear the Ancient Peace Archive, which is music from the Jesus People era, and numerous other programs, including the Radio Thrift Shop, Seldom Heard Radio, and Free Radio Skybird. Those are all archived at radio4all.net. That's radio4all.net.
Exploring Science in the Sea. The most powerful tropical cyclone ever recorded slammed into the Philippines in November of 2013. Typhoon Haiyan packed sustained winds of 195 miles per hour, the strongest of any typhoon or hurricane ever recorded at landfall. Over a few days, as it roared across the islands and then into mainland Asia, it killed as many as 7,500 people and caused billions of dollars in damages. Some recent studies say that Haiyan is part of a trend. According to one of the studies, from 1977 to 2013, the average intensity of typhoons that made landfall in parts of South and Southeast Asia increased by 12 to 15%, and the trend may continue. Researchers compared data sets compiled by two major typhoon watching groups. They found that both sets revealed big changes in the intensity of typhoons that made landfall in that region. The number of storms of Category 4 and 5, the strongest of all, jumped by 40%, and the proportion of these storms compared to all typhoons doubled. The researchers say that the jump is caused by warmer surface temperatures in the shallow waters on the rim of South and Southeast Asia. The average temperature has jumped by about 1 degree Fahrenheit since the 1970s. Since tropical storms feed off warm water, the increase provides more energy to fuel bigger storms. Those same waters are forecast to get even warmer by the end of the century. That could mean that more big storms could hit parts of Asia in the decades ahead. Science in the Sea is a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute at Port Aransas. I'm Holly Brawley.
Community Radio. Low power FM, shortwave radio. We explore it all on the Radio Thrift Shop on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Radio Thrift Shop here on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and around the world at classicalwscs.org. In that last set, we heard Alice Coltrane with Las Caballeros, The Invaders with Latin Lips. We started off with Lorindo Almeida and Brazilian Greens, from a very cool compilation called The Mighty Mellow, Chapter 3. This is DJ Frederick saying thank you for listening and wishing you many, many blessings.